Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and I am self-isolating. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger, and I am also self-isolating.
Rad. What a cool time to be alive. I'm loving it.
2020, man. It's been a hell of a year.
Yeah.
For several years. I'm really not sure. It's...
I know. It's really fucked up. Welcome to Dildork's coronavirus edition, which I would imagine is going to be actually maybe a lot of episodes to come. Who the fuck knows what's going to happen? But anyway, there's obviously a lot of anxiety going around this week. And I'm just kind of, as a content creator, I'm like, how can I make anybody's life easier in any way, like even a little bit? So I put out a call for COVID-19 related sex and dating questions, and y'all had some juicy ones. But before we get into those questions, I just wanted to establish some very basics because the other day I was on the sex subreddit and someone was like, help. Is it possible to transmit or catch the coronavirus via oral sex? And a bunch of people in the comments were like, LOL, you're an idiot. Like, they were saying not helpful things. And I was like, all right, okay, I'm going to step in and do some public health education here. And I said, well, you catch it mostly from breathing near someone who has it, or getting like droplets from someone who has it on you or in your membrane. So like, yeah. However, there was a brief put out by NYC Health that has some useful info. It seems that there's little, if any, evidence that like vaginal fluids and semen can transmit it. Like, it seems like the more pressing issue is like being in proximity to someone.
Yeah, I don't know that anyone's checked, but I'm also pretty sure you can't have sex within like while being more than 6 feet away.
Right. Yeah, unless your dick is extremely long, really don't think you're gonna be able to give a beej while social distancing. Very basic primer. The thing says you should avoid close contact, including sex, with anyone outside your household. I'm sure there are a lot of people not doing that right now, but that's really what you should be doing. It's also a good time to step up your pre- and post-sex hygiene. Like, wash those hands before you put them inside somebody, including somebody's mouth.
Like, you know what? Keep that habit. Like, if you're developing it now, just stick with it. It's a good one to have.
Right. How many times have I gotten home from a Tinder hookup and been like, oh, I feel a UTI brewing. What was on your hands, buddy? Because you should have washed them. Gross. Hashtag men are gross.
I know. And I just like suddenly saw this image of like, you know, months down the line, people being like, well, COVID's not a thing anymore. Don't have to worry about that. Like, you know, it's good practice.
Yeah. This is horrifying to even think about. You know what's really interesting about this statement, though? Like, the thing that stuck out to me the most is that there is a section that says, if you usually meet your sex partners online or make a living by having sex, consider taking a break from in-person dates. Video dates, sexting, or chat rooms may be options for you. I was like, NYC Health? You're, like, helping the sex workers? That's incredible. Who wrote this? I need to know who wrote this. But yeah, so basically, like, in addition to the routes of transmission that I mentioned before, it seems that fecal oral is another method of transmission. So also don't rim somebody who has this, but like probably don't breathe near them either, including near their butt, I guess. So yeah, that's just some basic info to help keep you safe. And now we will proceed to the more complex questions. Unless you have anything further to add about how we shouldn't be eating ass of people who are coughing and feverish in this trying time.
Yeah, I mean, maybe don't. It's fine.
Maybe don't.
Yeah, just eat ass another time. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay, so first juicy question from a listener is, how do you deal with someone getting pissed off that you canceled your first date because of social distancing? And my first gut reaction to this question was, fuck that person. Like, you just learned you shouldn't be dating them anyway.
Right, exactly. Thank them for saving you time. Yeah. You know all that you need to know. But, okay, seriously, though. A, like, for me, that's a red flag that they are either socially irresponsible or disconnected from general, like, the news at large, which are not traits that I would want in someone I'm dating anyway. And it also tells me that they're not empathetic and can't prioritize things that are important to me, even if they don't connect to them, right? Because if I say I'm concerned about this thing and I feel that it is important, so I am taking steps, like, to further what I feel is important. And you say, fuck that, you've made me sad. Again, I've learned you're probably not a person I want to date. So, like, glib responses aside, they've genuinely told you a lot about themselves in this moment, and I think you can thank them and move on.
Yeah, yeah, I think, like, this question made me wonder what exactly someone's motivation would be for getting mad at somebody else about this. And I wonder if it's, like, a similar thing to, you know, when you express safer sex boundaries and people get offended because they're like, well, I don't have an STI. What do you think about me that you think I have an STI? How are you judging me? And it's like, if you said no to this first date, it's not necessarily that you think this person for sure has COVID-19. Like, maybe you think the bar that you were going to didn't have enough, like, good cleaning practices. Or maybe you just, like, are abstaining from the outside world in general because you're trying to be responsible. Like, whatever the reason is, I'm noticing a lot how much, like, my impulse of toward politeness, which is a very, like, Canadian socialized as female impulse that has been drilled into me, is, like, really at odds with my desire to be responsible in this time. Because, like, you know, I'll be at an intersection when I'm taking a rare walk and I'll step away from somebody and I'll be like, oh no, like, do they think that I'm, you know, profiling them, or do they think that I think they have the illness? Or, like, I'm really just doing it, like, as much for their sake as for mine. But it's like, it's very hard to unlearn that politeness impulse. But you kind of have to, like, if you're offending people, if people are thinking you're impolite, but you end up saving lives, whether or not you ever find out that you've saved lives, like, it's, I think it's worth it.
Right. And the truth of it is, like, the more testing that's happening, we're realizing how many people are asymptomatic and still carrying it. And whether it's that you are just carrying it on your hands or that you're infected and could be infecting other people and just don't know because you're not showing symptoms. So in as much as, you know, you're social distancing because they may have it, you're also social distancing because you may have it. And I think that's pretty basic understanding of the principle. And again, someone who can't recognize that or empathize with that, not a person that's high on my list to date. Your mileage may vary.
Yeah. If we could speak to canceling dates more generally, I do think it might be helpful to give sort of a script for the best way to do this, because I think if you emphasize, like, it's about how you are feeling and it's about wanting to protect other people rather than being like, I think you're gross and I don't want to go on a date with you because I think you're contaminated or infected. I think that that's good. And I think it's, if you are canceling an in-person date, I think it's really good to offer, like, a video date or phone date option just to, like, really drive home the point. Like, this is not because I'm not interested in you. This is because we're in a global pandemic.
Right. And I think it is the fair to kind of reference that in your, like, when you're messaging them, if you're feeling nervous about it. Yeah. Because most of the messages I've sent have, like, to some degree been like, because of gestures broadly at the world at large, like, this is the
because
the,
of all this, yeah,
right, like, as a person who has socially isolated a lot in my time for mental health reasons, the one slim perk of this one is everyone is experiencing it.
Yeah.
Like, you have the blessing that they also know what's happening, hopefully.
Right.
And, like, people... we're more or less all having a fairly similar experience in this moment in a way that is very rare.
Yeah.
And, like, I think it's creating a lot of space for empathy and finding new and interesting ways for connection.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you're, like, canceling your plans, it is okay to be, like, I think it's fairly clear we're not going to a bar next week, but, like, just right. by the way, we're not going to a bar next week. I'd love to see you, like, you know.
Yeah. And by the way, if you are on the receiving end of one of these cancellations, I think the only correct response here is to be like, thank you. Thank you for taking care of yourself. Thank you for caring about public health. I appreciate it because you don't want to make people feel bad. Because, like, you don't know if you are kind of a dick to someone who's canceling a date with you, maybe that's going to make them too anxious to cancel other things that they really should be canceling. So, like, if you can make it, you know, as easy an interaction as possible and really impress upon them that you appreciate it, like, not only is that good in general, but also, like, probably they'll be more willing to, like, date you in whatever ways are available to you at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so another question. This is a complex one. This is very much a Dildork's question that we will answer and that you will not see NYC Public Health answering, probably. When you are polyamorous, who should you isolate with? Oh, what a question. Oh, it's rough.
Yeah. See, I think in a lot of cases, practicality wins out in this. Mm-hmm. I think just the people you are with already, if looking at your partners... if they get along and, like, the shape of your polycule and the shape of your houses is really going to matter mm-hmm. in who can self-isolate together, if several of you can be together, if, you know, you're pairing off in different, however that's going to look. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an incredibly personal decision, but I do think you also have to be realistic. If you do have a choice, if you do have the option to... you know, decide how you're kind of sectioning off, decide who you can actually practically spend that much time with.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all have a lot of different types of relationships in our lives. And people are good in certain doses. And
yeah.
And I think recognizing who you cohabitate with, who you cohabitate well with, yeah. is important.
Yeah, well, that reminds me of when we had Joelle and Nadi on a few weeks ago, and she was telling us about how she has one partner who she's quite happy to stay with in hotels for events and stuff, and another one who she can't really do that with because he's too extroverted or chatty or whatever. And, yeah, I mean, it can be hard to acknowledge to yourself and to your partners that some of you are not great matches for extended periods of being together. But, like, that's a very real thing. You don't have to say it like that when you tell the person. You can cushion it a little right. bit. Yeah. I was also seeing, there was an article going around, I forget if it was The Atlantic or something, that had advice on some, like, social distancing questions that people had. And one of the experts was saying, maybe if you have two households that agree that they're not going to, like, spend time with people from the outside world, then they can socialize together. And it was reminding me a lot of when we talk about fluid bonding as far as STIs and mm-hmm. stuff, because if you're essentially, like, quote-unquote fluid bonded with a person, COVID bonded, whatever you want to call it, like, then you're probably okay. But, like, if one of them goes out and is in a crowded area, or if one of them goes and sees a friend whose health status you don't know or whatever, it's like, then you got to figure out what measures you want to instate, whether it's as drastic as that person staying away from everybody else for 14 days, as is recommended, or something kind of more low key, like they're just going to keep an eye on their symptoms and they're going to lice all everything they touch, or I don't know. But I do like the metaphor of fluid bonding for this. That's a helpful way for me to think about it, because it's actually very similar in many ways.
Yeah, most of the reporting I've seen, I think, seems to, like, understand that you're not going to isolate from everyone in the world, and you're mm-hmm. more or less going to kind of try and cluster in, you know, small communities that are not connecting with the outside world in that, and I've been thinking about it in much a similar way.
Yeah. If you are isolating with one partner and you have other partners who you are not going to see for a while or for the foreseeable future, I mean, maybe this goes without saying, but like, be sure to give them some extra love via text or via Skype or however you're staying in touch. Maybe even have, you know, designated date nights with them where you're doing digital or phone dates. Because especially in like a non-hierarchical situation, like obviously you're gonna be having an inequitable situation if you don't make the time to spend time digitally with those other people. So like it may require some more, you know, intentionality and deliberate planning and such, but I think that that's worth it to do. One person had a question about, their metamorph. There's some polycule drama in this question. They said that one of their metamorphs, who they, I guess, live with or are staying with, is still going out and seeing people and stuff, and they're worried that this person is, like, putting the rest of the household at risk as well, and they're wondering, like, how to talk to this person about this problem. Yikes. Oh, I don't envy you, my friend.
Yeah, I do not. Ugh. I mean, they are putting the rest of your household at risk. I don't uh-huh. think that's unfair to say. And I think you need to sit down and have a serious conversation with them about the ways in which you're feeling like this is jeopardizing your health.
I think it might be worth talking to the other members of your household to get a read on whether they are also concerned by this, because, I mean, not necessarily to gang up on the person in an aggressive way, but if you know that this is concerning other people, then that can be a helpful kind of bargaining chip of sorts when you do have this intervention-esque conversation. And I think it's quite reasonable to have certain conditions that you want someone to meet. Like, if you are gonna go out in the world and put yourself at risk, like, is there a room in the house or apartment where that person can, like, be by himself and, like, aggressively lice all their doorknobs? Yeah. I mean, maybe not because of space constraints, but I mean, it's so tough because you don't want to take a hard line and be like, if you don't shape up, we're kicking you out of the household, because it's not a good time for that. But I mean, it's, I don't know. I would be tempted to get a little bit strict.
Yeah, no, agree. And I like what you said about, like, you know, finding them, you know, if there is a room they can stay in or something. But I do think it's entirely reasonable to say, like, hey, if you're going to continue to put yourself at risk in these ways, I'm not sharing a bed. Like, you know, if their partner is also concerned, right, you know, not sharing a bed with them, maybe not mm-hmm. wanting to share a room with them, not wanting to, you know, all get all cuddly on the couch and watch movies or whatever. Like, yeah. You know, they're not going to get to touch the other people in their house if they're going to continue to put themselves at risk in that way.
Yeah, and it's really tough because, like, in regular times, I would generally counsel against using sex or affection as a bargaining chip, because I think it can create really unhealthy dynamics. And there is a slight difference between that and right. what we're proposing here, but I get that it could maybe feel like that. Especially to someone who is not sufficiently concerned about the situation. I think it is pretty tricky, but I do think, like, better safe than sorry. Probably if this person is your metamorph, I would say have the partner yeah. talk to them. Like, the metamorph on metamorph confrontation seems aggressive to me.
I mean, but if they are also sharing a household at this point.
Yeah, I don't know.
It does tough. Seem like they have, it depends on what, I guess, what the relationship between them is.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can also just have, like, a relationship independent of their partner. As, like, they might just have a friendship on their own as well, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I think a lot of this advice that we're giving also holds up, even if it's a different relationship that you have with this person who's putting your household at risk in some way. Like, I know a lot of people right now whose parents are not sufficiently concerned and just don't think it's a big enough deal. And, I mean, it's tough because, like, you can show these people all the literature in the world about the science, and sometimes people just won't get on board. And I think that that's, I mean, it reminds me almost of what Dr. Liz Powell talks about in their book about the difference between, like, rules, boundaries, and agreements. Because a boundary is a thing that you set for yourself, where you're like, if you have been out at a crowded bar, I will not sleep in your bed. Whereas a rule is like more of an oppressive thing where you're like, you're not allowed to go to crowded bars. And I mean, I think both of those would be reasonable in this case, but I think that you have more kind of like leverage with a boundary. And I also think that that's going to be the probably the least likely to cause friction in your relationships, if that makes sense.
Agreed.
Okay, so next question. What can you do if you're starved for touch? And this person noted that they've been trying to have cyber sex and it has not been helping. Do you have any advice for this?
Yeah. Well, I think going back to what we said earlier about how as much as we are socially isolating, we're not socially isolating from everyone. It is kind of understood that there will be a few people in your sphere that you're just gonna be sharing germs with. That's just kind of the nature of things. But we want to keep those clusters as small as possible and be, you know, mixing between them as little as possible. Much, or at least that's my understanding of it. So I think finding folks who you can share touch with, even if it's not folks that you can have sex with, but, you know, if you have a friend that you can, you know, cuddle and watch a movie with, or, you know, if you can just go over to someone and say, hey, can I have a hug? I think people, again, like I was saying earlier, this we have the benefit of the fact that everyone is going through this right now. So I think they'll have a unique kind of empathy and understanding of, oh, yeah, of course this person hasn't seen many people lately. Of course they haven't been touched much lately. So I think if you can find people in your spheres that you can kind of pair up with and partner up with for that, and kind of, I guess, fluid bond as touch buddies in a much less filthy way than I mean that to sound. I think that might help. Also, if you have a friend or if you have a pet, they can be really, really great for just getting some cuddles and touch when you feel like you don't have any.
Yeah. I did I guested on the Bedpost podcast recently, and we were talking about long distance relationships because of all this. And, I was asked a similar question on there. And, I mean, I'm a particular type of pervert, so I could recommend like, erotic hypnosis, which makes it possible for you to feel like someone is touching you, even if they're far away. Maybe you don't want to learn an entirely new sexual skill, but maybe you have time and you do want to read Mind Play by Mark Wiseman and learn some shit. But also, like, I think if you have phone sex, or, I mean, you don't even have to really necessarily have a full-on phone sex session, but your partner can describe to you how they would be touching you if they were there, and you can touch yourself in that way. And, like, yeah, that's not going to feel exactly like the same thing, but if you're able to really, really focus on it and, like, practice that type of imagination, I think over time it can start to feel more real.
I think you're just describing hypnosis again. It doesn't feel real, but, like, if you focus and practice a very particular kind of imagination, it, like, weirdly starts to feel real.
Yeah, it's just, like, focus your mind. Tune out everything else.
It's fine. Just do hypnosis, but don't call it hypnosis. But no, I do think you're right. And I think I think this is a moment that kind of calls for recognizing and compartmentalizing your needs, in that I think we are people, like, as a society in general, we go to sex for intimacy and connection and a feeling of touch and a feeling of excitement and a million other things all at once. And I think recognizing mm-hmm. that, all right, well, I need touch, and this is where I can access touch, and this is where I can have, like, a romantic, flirty connection, and this is where I can feel, like, really intimate and bare my soul, and recognize that those might not all be the same people, and you might be getting them through different types of mediums, and kind of getting creative with your problem solving in this time.
Yeah. Another thing I thought of is me and my partner recently did Clone a Willy. And if you don't know what that is, it is a vibrator molding kit. You can buy it, and it has all this stuff in it to make a mold of a person's dick or vulva. They have vulva ones now too. And to make liquid silicone that you can pour into the mold and create, like, an exact, pretty exact replica of somebody's genitals. And if you can't see a partner for a bit, maybe they would like a copy of your genitals to fuck or be fucked by.
Yeah, and I do think, I mean, we've talked a lot around, like, problem solving in this, but you raise a good point that this is going to create an opportunity for relationships to kind of get creative in a way that they may not be used to. Suddenly, everyone's in a long-distance relationship, even if it's only a 30-minute train ride away. Yeah. This does give you a minute to kind of try and have fun with it, right? You're mm-hmm. presented with this unique problem. What's fun and interesting about this distance? How can you, y'all know what I'm like, but my first inclination is, how can I make this a game? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think to that point, it might be worth looking up resources related to long distance relationships, even if yours super is not, because a lot of the tips are going to apply to mm-hmm. you. You'll see a lot of stuff about, like, Bluetooth enabled vibrators, sexting, phone sex, and, like, all that stuff is good. You do not have to be in a real LDR to do that stuff. So we got a few questions that were some variation on, like, how to deal with feeling hopeless, feeling discouraged, that I won't have in-person sex or dates for a long time. One person was saying that they're struggling with feelings of jealousy because other people they know are quarantined with a partner and they're by themselves. I think, I would give similar advice for this as I would give to someone who is just, like, struggling with newly being single or struggling with, like, feelings of hopelessness about being single, just, like, in general, which is, find more ways to enjoy the time that you spend with yourself. New hobbies, interesting books to read, podcasts to listen to, shows to watch, movies to watch, I always find it really helpful to learn a new skill of some kind. It reminds me of how smart and competent I am and makes me more into myself. And of course, there's always elaborate masturbation. That is always an option, my friends.
It definitely is. And I think you can also, yes, you're not going to have in-person dates, but that doesn't mean you can't use the apps to find someone to talk to and get into that, like, fun, flirty energy. That doesn't mean you can't come up with, like, a really interesting internet-based first date. Maybe, you know, you invite them to play a game with you in a certain, you know, go to a certain place in a game together, an online game, or, you know, whatever, watch a movie together or whatever medium you enjoy. And go on some internet first dates and get to know some people and have some of that, like, fun, flirty energy, and then mm-hmm. also play with it and eroticize the fact that, well, you're not going to get to touch for a little while. Mm-hmm. So what can you do in the meantime, right? What other ways can you find to play with and get sexy long distance. And again, that goes back to looking up like those long distance articles like you were just talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can make it into a fun tease of sorts, and you can spend a lot of time talking about what you will do or what you would do if you could be physically together. And I know a lot of people who struggle to make connections via text or via like messaging within dating apps because they're like, I just can't get a real sense of a person just from texting with them. And I would really recommend doing phone dates or video dates. Like, even though as like millennials or whatever, you might be scared to hop on the phone, like it can be very intimidating and anxiety producing and whatnot. But you do definitely get like a more full sense of a person. And I think there's far more opportunities for organic flirtation that way, and even phone sex and whatnot. So, I mean, maybe it's time to face your fear of the phone, if that's a thing for you. Maybe it's time to, maybe you could start with sending voice memos if being in the real-time phone conversation freaks you out, or, like, recording little things for each other, whatever. You know, you can take steps toward that, and I think that, like, that fun, flirty energy can totally exist, even without the possibility of in-person stuff for a while.
Yeah, and I also, if as a person who does often get nervous about like Skype and phone calls and things, I find, like I was saying earlier about games, or if you can find something to do during the date together, I find that takes a lot of the pressure off of me, because what I get nervous about is like, I'm going to get on this call and then we're just going to be staring at each other through the screen. And no one's going to have anything to say, and it's going to be really awkward. So if you have a plan, if you have, I love games, but, you know, whatever your thing is that you can be talking about the thing you are doing, then there's always something that you can be sharing, and you have to worry a little bit less about that awkward lull.
Yeah, and to the person who is having some difficult feelings about seeing other people who are quarantined with partners and feeling alone, I mean, I think certainly there are people in your life who are also alone at this time. You might have to go digging for them if you don't know off the top of your head who those people are. But maybe this would be a good opportunity to connect with some of those people. Maybe you want to like have dinner together over Google Hangouts or what have you. 'Cause I find often like helping people who have the same problem as me makes me feel better about that problem for myself as well. And there's a lot of people out there who are feeling isolated right now, and you can do a lot to help with that if you would like to. Got a question from somebody who is still having to go into work, which by the way is awful, and I'm so sorry. And I really hope your workplace like does something about that soon, because that's really unreasonable. But so I think if I'm understanding this person's question correctly, both they and their partner are still having to go to work. And they're wondering if there's anything that they can do to have quote unquote clean sex. As far as I understand, your best defense here is like as soon as you get home, thoroughly wash your hands or even like take all your clothes off and have a shower. That would make me feel better about having sex with someone who had just been like working at a store all day or whatever. And definitely is better than not doing that. I don't know that it'll necessarily like 100% prevent any transmission that might happen, but like that I think is a good basic measure. Do you have anything else that you thought of for this?
Yeah, I mean, that's all I would say. I feel like, honestly, I guess kind of the barrier is more in just like social, like being together with your partner in general. If you're already sharing space, I don't think the difference between like sharing close intimate space and having sex is like, well, the sex is what's going to give you the virus. Like that's the line. I think anything you're doing to kind of protect yourselves before spending time together, because I don't know if y'all live together or if we're talking about, like, getting together at all for dates. It's just, I think, being in close contact with each other that really is more the issue.
Mm-hmm. Someone asked if we have advice on breakups during COVID-19, and then another person chimed in and said that they broke up with a partner because of COVID-19, because basically, like, they were not going to be able to see this person for the foreseeable future, and so they decided to break up to deal with that. I think, like, all that really comes to mind for me for this is, like, this is already an extremely emotionally trying time. So if you're going through a breakup on top of that, like, you're going through a lot, like, you know that. But I would encourage you to, like, really be aware of how difficult that is, and to be gentle with yourself as a result. Like, really, this is an unprecedented situation. So your reactions and responses may well be unprecedented for you. You don't need to beat yourself up if you seem to be having an abnormally tough time with it, because there is no normal in this situation. And I would say, like, if you can reach out to friends, like, I think that that would be your best line of defense. A lot of people are very open to connecting digitally right now, because we're all aware that a lot of people are feeling very isolated. Maybe you want to plan, like, a digital dinner party with your friends over Hangouts or Zoom. Or just, like, have dinner with one friend virtually. Call your mom. Like, you know, just really, you're going to have to be proactive about your social connections at this time. But I really think that is the best thing you could do for yourself.
Yeah. And I think I just kind of want to reiterate what Kate said about how to have patience with your reactions in these moments, and to recognize that, like, you can't necessarily predict how you're going to feel through all of this. And if you are looking at a global pandemic and all you can think about is how sad you are about your breakup, like, that's okay. Because I think that's probably where I would be in your moment, and I would be struggling with, this feels terrible, and also, oh God, I'm selfish, there's so much in the world, and this is all I care about, and, like, that's totally fine. And it's totally fine if all you can do is panic about everything that's going on, and suddenly something that feels like it should be a bigger deal wasn't. Like Kate said, there's a million ways you could react to this, and it's... You have no data. You have no way of knowing what to predict out of yourself, and just kind of have patience for where you're at.
Yeah. I would also say, like, this is just a general mental health tip that I have just discovered for myself in a lifetime of having mental illness. But, like, in times of great stress or of great illness or what have you, it is often good to have a list that you make yourself of self-care activities that you know make you feel good or are good for you. Because especially going through a breakup while there's a global pandemic, I mean, you're going to be distracted. You're going to be tempted to just, like, scroll through Twitter instead of making yourself a nutritious meal or whatever it is. So maybe make that list for yourself of things that you know help you, and refer to it often, because this is a tough time. It's really important to take care of yourself to the extent that you're able to do that. So we got a question, which is sort of quite big and open-ended. Someone asked, is this the end of casual love? And I took that to mean, is this the end of, like, casual dating? Like, basically, like, relationships that are not serious, committed relationships, because those are the types that are going to be really difficult at this time. What do you think, Bex? Is this the end of casual love?
No. No. Sluts are fucking creative. We'll figure some shit out. Like, we're already figuring shit out, let's be honest. But no, I think, like I said earlier, at risk of sounding like the worst, I do think this is an opportunity for us, like, I think we're taking this as an opportunity to be really intentional about how we communicate and connect with people, because we have to be. And maybe I'm an optimist, but I think people are endlessly clever and will come up with all kinds of interesting ways to keep connecting. And I don't think that this is going to become some like puritanical shutdown on casual connections.
Yeah, I think what this raises for me is like it can come across as unchill to stay in touch with someone during a crisis or care about their well-being, like visibly care about their well-being during a crisis, or like reach out to be like, hey, how are you holding up? If they're just that person who you've like been on a couple of dates with and are just seeing casually or whatever. And I think that that really shows me like just how much our society can kind of like devalue those casual relationships, because like just because it's casual doesn't mean it has to be careless or uncaring. And like chillness is overrated, and like fuck chill. Like if you are dating someone casually, presumably it's because you like them on some level, and so they also deserve your care and attention in this time. And like I'm sure that there are people right now who this crisis is forcing them to realize that there are people that they're dating who just they actually don't care that much about and don't really want to be with, because crisis kind of like brings things to a head in that way. And that's cool. Like go back and listen to our breakup advice from a few minutes ago. But you can totally have casual relationships that are still caring. It's just going to look a different way. And that's fine. Okay, a couple more. This one's about friends. Someone is wondering, how can I express affection and maintain intimacy with my friends when I can't physically be with them? I, at this time, am sending a lot of texts each day that are like, hey, how are you holding up? How are you doing? What's up? How are you dealing with this? And that seems to be making people feel pretty good. And I know that I feel pretty good when I get those. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I think just reaching out. I have a recurring item on my to-do list that is just text someone who you haven't talked to in a minute. Because I knew I would not be like in proximity for people for a while. I also think planning group hangouts online, or like, because I think it will be very easy for relationships to kind of splinter off into these little one-on-one chats, and planning opportunities for your friend groups to be together in a group, whether that's in a group chat or in, you know, an online game you're going to play together, or if it's going to be, you know, a Zoom party or whatever that looks like. I think doing that would be is good as well. I don't think we want to just kind of splinter off all our relationships, foster communities and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, if you're lacking in social energy right now due to all the emotional devastation that's going on, which is totally fair, maybe you want something that requires less social energy of you. Like, for example, a group text rather than a one-on-one Skype hang. And it's okay to be realistic with yourself and with your friends about where you're at. Like, I also have been telling a lot of my friends, like, I know I'm not being very timely in my replies, but like, I'm still appreciating your messages. It's just like, when there's a constant onslaught of bad news coming out of your phone all day long, every day, it's like, maybe sometimes you want to put your phone down for a bit, and that's okay. I also think a nice thing you can do for friends in this time is to encourage them in their self-care behaviors that you know work for them. Like, I know sometimes in the past when I've been having a hard depression day, you've sometimes encouraged me to like put nice clothes on and do my makeup and go out to a bar by myself with like a book or stuff like that. Like, if you know, obviously I'm not going to be going to a bar in this day and age, but if you know things about how your friends are good at coping with things for themselves, and things that make them feel good and that make them feel competent and happy and, you know, just good feelings in general, like you can be a helpful force in just sort of like gently reminding them of those things, or like affirming that they did a good job when they do those things. This is kind of delving into the category one might call platonic kink, depending on how you do it. You know, we all need whatever we can get to get through these times. So if you can help your friends with self-care, I think that's great.
Agreed.
I also have been enjoying sometimes texting friends pictures of my outfits or pictures of things I cooked or things I achieved, because it's like, I know that these are small achievements, but to have even one external person acknowledge them makes them feel more legitimate, and that helps me get through my day, and we can all do that for each other.
I'm gonna send you a picture of the coconut cake I made this weekend.
Oh my god, fuck you, I want to eat it.
I was, okay, so, like, to be fair, this photo was taken while I was, it was taken on portrait mode while I was, like, high as shit kneeling on my kitchen floor to get, like, the perfect angle for yeah. this photo of my coconut cake, because isolation is going great for me.
I love you. You're
tomorrow
great.
I'm making a babka. It's going to be fun.
Cool. Okay, yeah. We have one more question. I saved this one for last because I thought you'd be excited to talk about it. You have mentioned games a little bit, but we got a question about doing kink scenes in, like, online multiplayer games, such as Animal Crossing, which everybody is playing right now.
It's so good. Send me your friend code.
Yeah, so I had, like, not really thought that much about this, but then as soon as I tweeted about it today, like, I got a couple people sending me articles about people doing kink scenes in online games, and it's, like, definitely a thing that people do. I was wondering if you, as a video game nerd, had any ideas for ways that you can do that.
I feel like it would be really, really game-specific. Obviously, a game like Animal Crossing is made for service stuff, right? You can...
obviously.
Like, there are so many tasks. There, you know, I need something. Go find it for me. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a thing. I'm trying to think. Something especially like Animal Crossing is nice because it works on real time, so there's gotta be something in there around, like, ritual and protocol and routine.
Mm-hmm. If there's ways for you and another person to virtually get together in the game, maybe you wanna figure out a way to set that up as, like, a date-y vibe. Like, maybe you put on a different outfit. I changed my character's dress in Animal Crossing today, and I was like, why did that make me feel so much better about my life? That's really weird. But I mean, maybe you could build a little, like, room with a table and chairs and candlelight and stuff, and just make a little date space.
go to the creepy photographer's island. Did you get that dude yet?
I don't have the new Animal Crossing. I'm still on that new leaf grind.
That's what I thought. I didn't think you had a Switch.
But Bex, I did just buy a Switch, though. Like, this is how bad things are. I bought a Switch.
That is. Yeah. Well, you have to let me know as soon as you get Animal Crossing, so I can come visit you. I have been playing so much.
Yeah, I think I might do Pokemon Sword first. I'm not sure because they're so expensive. I don't know. But. Yeah, Animal Crossing does seem important.
Yeah. Back to kink and games, though. If you do have a more competitive, bratty style relationship, you can also compete in whatever game you're playing for the right to be in control, which is a thing I do a lot in my kink scenes. Or the loser has to write some sort of, you know, erotic story or confess the last thing they jerked off to or whatever. I love roping, like, cute little truth or dare elements into things, right? The loser has to XYZ. That can be really fun. Maybe the loser has to, like, film something for the other partner. That can be really fun. Yeah, it totally depends on the game, but I think there are a lot of options.
Yeah, and I think that coming up with, like, scene ideas or you know, games within games ideas could itself be like an assignment. Like if you are in a DS relationship and you and your sub both enjoy playing a particular game together, then maybe you can, like, as a dom, you could assign your sub to come up with like 5 different ideas for like kink scenes or kink games that you could play within that game. Just like anything to make this horrible time feel less horrible, you know?
Yeah. This is, I mean, I mentioned this briefly with the breakup question, but it can be hard to think about anything other than how terrible things are in this moment. A, just because this is all a lot, but B, because you can feel guilty for, like, having fun with things in this moment, and doing, and, like, pursuing joy, and let's be honest, given everything we're seeing right now, it seems like we're going to be here for a minute, and I think we need to find ways to pursue joy, because it's the only way we're going to fucking make it through this.
Yeah.
And if that is making Animal Crossing kinky, then gosh darn it, you fucking deserve it.
Absolutely. Is Tom Nook a daddy dom?
Tom Nook has gotten scary in this new one. I don't know when he became, like, Jeff Bezos, but he's, like, capitalist
Amazon
nightmare.
Crossing.
Yeah, he just... Creepy. It's so much, and I'm so invested in all of it. Like, don't get me wrong. Tom Nook gets all of my bells. And my miles, because I now care deeply about them. I didn't 3 days ago, but now nothing else matters. It's fine. This is the world we live in.
Amazing. Cool. Well, that is all the questions we got for this week. But we're considering doing a part 2, because it did seem like more questions were coming in. So if you do have questions about love, sex, dating, and kink in the time of coronavirus, our email address is, as always, thedildorks@gmail.com. And you can also DM, well, I was going to say either of us, but, like, probably me. I'm usually the one who, like, puts these lists together. So I am at girly_juice on Twitter and Instagram. And I have a blog at girlyjuice.net where I am still writing stuff. A lot of it is relevant to this very subject, because what the hell else am I going to write about right now? And I also co-host another podcast called Question Box. The guest this week was my little brother, Max, and he and I faced off against each other, and it got quite juicy. And also, I want to tell you, I guested on 2 other podcasts recently that you might find interesting. I was on the Sophia Gray podcast. That's SOFIA GRAY, talking about pubic hair for some reason. So that was fun. And then also, as I mentioned, I was on the Bedpost podcast recently. That's Bed Space Post, discussing long-distance relationships with a friend of the show, Aaron Pym. So check those out. Where is your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find all my writing at BexTalkSex.com, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram at BexTalkSex. Together with the Dildorks, you can find us at TheDildorks.com or at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find us by searching the Dildorks in your favorite podcast app. While you're there, rate and review us. Brings us up in the charts. Makes us easier for folks to find. Shit, people need stuff to do. Make us look good. And head over to patreon.com/thedildorks to toss a couple of bucks our way. Help us keep doing what we're doing and pay for our grocery delivery.
Yeah, I think the topic of our hypotheticals this week was what would be either the worst or the best song to have on loop while you're fucking, and I haven't actually listened to it yet, so I don't remember
what was said
because I was extremely high when we recorded it, so I'll probably go and watch that later.
It was very good.
Okay, good. I'll check it out. Thanks so much to Protodome, who did our theme song. Gosh, I hope he's doing okay. He is at protodome.bandcamp.com, and he makes great music if you want to have a dance party at home in your apartment. And thank you to Amy. She did our logo. She is at starboots_ on Twitter. I also hope she's doing okay. And thank you to you. I hope you're all doing okay. Until next time, folks, stay the fuck home and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye.
Bye.
We made a thing. We made a helpful thing.
We made a thing. We did. I'm proud of us.
Yeah.
Together we're the Dildorks. You can find us at thedildorks.com or by... I don't actually know what I was going to say. Hang on. Let me do that again. I'm like, the answer is your partner's a shitty person.
Throw the whole metamore away. Yeah.
Throw the whole metamore away. The answer is change the locks next time they do it. No, I can't.
We can't say that.
I am a professional.
That is what I want to say, but we can't. Yeah.
I know.